Welcome to the Ross, L and Luke show. Although today, Luke's missing. So hopefully he'll be joining us soon enough. And I'm wondering if I just get rid of the other two and call it the Ross show. Anyway, joking aside, everyone has a dream inside them. But sometimes life feels harder than it should, and we're left wondering why it's just not easier. Sometimes you feel on top of the world, and other times you feel like the whole world is on top of you. Rossie blokes, we're dads and we're entrepreneurs. Between us, we have made a lot of mistakes and learnt a few things about life, love, relationships, communication and business. And we're here to share those with you. You may get three different perspectives or you may get one universal agreement. But whatever you take away from today, you can be guaranteed we enjoy delivering it to you. Al, how are you?
I'm here.
yes, you are. Awesome. In fact, you were the first one here today, so...
I was.
Yeah.
I was especially diligent today.
Yeah.
Had a long weekend, resuscitated from near death to, you know, ticking again, and thought I'll get there early and be all ready to go.
Excellent. And then Luke's AWOL, and although he's on his way in now, and I'm late. So my apologies for that. So what would you like to share? So you just started talking about, you know, from near death.
Mate. So it's funny because you've got that bit about the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'm just feeling it at the moment. So, you know, understanding that it's potentially part of a cycle. It's certainly not the way things always will be. However, the last couple of weeks have just felt very weighty. And last week I was moving out of an apartment, just to add to all of that. So that culminated with me getting driving down to Mount Martha after midnight Friday. And definitely being a bit wobbly on the road. Like, I got one of those cars that beeps and says, you know, driver fatigue warning to remind me that I should stay awake. Then got up, went to the airport, and, you know, just went again all day Saturday, but just hit the wall big time Saturday night, really hit the wall. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, Sunday was an all day up there, up in Noosa, you know, all day just resting and relaxing. And then Monday was good, you know. So yesterday there was a lot of that as well, but then back on the plane and back in the car and, mm-hmm. You know, back to reality. So there was that, you know, 24 hours or so of bliss, mm-hmm. Which meant a partial recovery. However, it's got, you know, for me, where I'm at now in life, it's got me thinking again, like, okay, what now? Mm-hmm. How do I want things to look now? What? You know, what do I really want in my life? What commitments, pressures, etc. will I accept, and what do I want to just let go of? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. And that's the question you're asking yourself at the moment.
Yeah.
It's always a good question, though, I think. And I've been kind of the space I'm in at the moment, the education, the conversation that's been around me, and a lot of it's just kind of been going on for me, so it's just, maybe it's just showing up in my world around me at the moment, which is kind of decluttering and going kind of more minimalist and just getting rid of stuff. You know, I've got so many projects at home that I wanted to start, and then the kids came along, so they kind of all got put on hold.
Well, it's the biggest project you take on.
Yeah, that's right. So now I've got a 6 and a 7-year-old, and most of those projects I haven't even looked at for, you know, well, 6, 7 years. So I'm kind of now going, well, I need to just start getting rid of stuff.
Yep.
Like, it's ridiculous to have these things, you know, taking up space in my life, because they take up space in my head, not just in my environment. Yep. You know, you walk into a room and there's things there rather than just clarity in a room.
Yep.
You know, there's things in a room.
Yep.
So I'm looking at, yeah.
Not only are there things, these are things from your past,
mm-hmm.
which may or may not be relevant now.
Yep.
But there will be energy attached to those things that is in your past and you may or may not want with you now.
Mm.
I mean, look, moving out of moving out of a finished apartment, you know, where a lot of it's not mine, there's still that opportunity to go through a lot of stuff. Now, I got rid of a few bags, a few boxes, but I've still got too much crap. And you know, and some of it, I've still got one box which still has the tape, gaffer tape on it, that I stuck on there around about May or June 1995.
Right.
23 years later.
You've been pretty consistent holding on to that.
23 years later, I still have that box. Still, I have looked in it.
And so you take it to the antique store?
No, so I have looked in it, and the reason why it's I still haven't ditched it is that's the one that's got most of my cards. And so I've got every birthday card, every Christmas card that's been given to me since I was keeping them as a kid.
Yeah.
And so, you know I know I've got the technology now. I can just go and scan it all, dump it to a disc, and, you know, just increase my disc storage. But, you know, kind of I'm confident that there's a process in there for me that's important for me as well. The question is when.
Yeah.
You know, so I picked up that box and moved it again. I'm relatively happy because I've moved my own self with or without family 7 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Now, if I include moving my mom and moving other people, I've definitely moved a house a year.
Yeah.
Plus in the last decade.
Yeah.
So,
And it is moving a house, isn't it? It's not, you know, just moving a person.
The majority of those were the whole house. The majority of those are the whole house. There was one year where the whole footy club came and they went, because we were moving 800 metres from back door to back door, and the whole footy club came and they picked up some stuff and took it down the laneways to the new place.
Awesome.
So they helped me, you know. So, but yeah, no, so I've moved, yeah, it's been entire houses. The first time when all this started, we moved a whole house from Montmorency, well, sorry, we moved the whole house from Coburg to Middle Park, from a 3-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom house. And then we moved an entire house from Montmorency into Coburg, and we did all that in one weekend.
Yeah. And what I meant, though, when we move a house, like, we don't just move ourselves and just, you know, carry some stuff.
Yeah.
We have to move an entire house full of stuff.
And I acknowledge that. I'm saying not only that, I've moved other people's, which is is another level of madness again.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree. It's
we have so much stuff.
But that's where I was going with that I've got a lot less.
Yeah, awesome.
So the upshot of moving, on average, moving somebody once every year is just having less stuff to move.
Yeah.
So I, you know, if I'd been organized, because I don't really like to plan and organize this stuff. I just like to let it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because at one stage on Friday, I'm sitting there going, oh shit, you know, I've just got so much stuff and I don't have boxes. I haven't done anything like preparing. So I took the first load to my mom. I was like, right, I know how I deal with this stuff. I just do something. Yeah. And then I'll see what happens next. Get to my mum's and there's a whole pile of empty boxes. Beautiful, empty boxes. Mm-hmm. Bang, packed everything else on it. You know, so once I got going, you know, it was whatever it was, a 12-15 hour effort on my own.
Yeah.
You know, I moved some pretty heavy items on my own too, worked out how to get a bit of leverage and, you know, including a king-size bed and mattress last week.
Yeah.
On my own, that's which good. don't try that at home.
Yeah.
So, look, going on about it a bit, but... Man, it's in so many ways. It's this has been the first move I've done of my own stuff by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been all about me. Yeah. You know. So again, going to your point earlier, and just it's in a cycle where I've been very focused on the world around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time last year I was very self focused. Mm-hmm. In a positive way, not a negative way. However, I was very focused on my own development and growth, and And I've been gradually getting broader and broader focused, which is my natural way.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few months has been ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I realized on the weekend how little self, kind of self-nurturing, how little rest I'm actually having now. So, yeah.
Okay.
Full on few days, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. We're kind of talking about moving. You know, we're in no hurry right now, but we are talking about moving. And, you know, so naturally inside of that, the conversation came up again about the stuff that we have. And my parents, they're actually moving as well. And they've got a lot of antique furniture.
Wow.
You know, they've come down from, you know, through the family.
Wow.
So it's, you know, a few generations it's been around for. So we're talking, you know, sort of 150-year-old plus furniture. You know, some of it's like 400 years old. And the question's like, well, you know, what would you like, if any of it? And that's a really great question, because then it's like, well, you know, it's kind of like an ancestral heirloom, but at the same time, is the furniture relevant to modern lifestyle? And I'm not sure I have the answer to that yet. There might be a couple of pieces that might hang on to. But then my wife likes modern rather than, you know, the antique stuff. So, you know, if we're going to have a house that looks modern, would we have one room that's you know, dedicated to that kind of thing? I guess they're just, you know, first world questions that we're asking. And, you know, maybe it's, hey, maybe we just get rid of all of that. Do our next generation a favour and go, well, I don't want any of it.
Mm.
Because then I'm hanging on to things for what purpose?
Mm.
You know, what is the purpose of hanging on to something that's been in the family for generations?
Mm.
You know, is it just this notion of, I don't know. You know, but there's this, there's this kind of thing that's there for a lot of us. I know it's certainly there for me about, it's been in the family, it should probably stay in the family, but for what purpose? When we really think about it, for what purpose?
Mm.
And there's, you know, I'm just then going to be carting it from one place to another and having to spend lots of money to look after it, to get it cut properly so it doesn't get broken because it's got value and yeah.
Well, and I think, again, what is actually attached to that energetically? You know, and again, this might be a question that a lot of people are scratching their heads, what am I even talking about? And I feel like we, you know, we not only inherit physical stuff, when we inherit that stuff, we inherit whatever is attached to that energetically, whatever experience has happened around it or in its presence, or, you know, and I don't know how it works, and I don't know if there's any scientific description. However, I don't think we just accept the thing. I think we accept everything that goes with that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if you want to use a more pointed example, you know, what about the dudes that pass down, you know, ancient rifles or guns? I mean, you know, you know you've got an instrument that's designed for death. Even if it's sport. What are you passing on when you're passing that on? So that's just the extreme example, but I really think everything's the same. I think you nailed it. What do you want to hand on to your kids?
And maybe freeing them, because modern society is just getting weighed down with so much stuff. I don't want to call it junk, but so I think stuff is probably a really great example. Like it's, and how useful is it? Like, how much of this stuff do we need? Like, it's, a lot of people talk about, if you haven't used it in 6 months, throw it out, which kind of gets a bit tricky when summer only comes around, you know, sort of 9 months apart, and you get your summer clothes, you're throwing them out. You go, oh, it's summer. Oh, hang on, I threw all those clothes out. So maybe it's 12 months. Yeah, if you haven't used something in 12 months. But the freer we are, the easier it is.
Yeah.
I've been through my wardrobe. I haven't got through all of it. I've got a mountain of t-shirts there.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been gifts as well. And I'm going to have to go through all that, you know, I don't know, and just start thinning that out.
Yeah.
Making room for, you know, potentially for more gifts that you know, people want to give me, and just room in my cupboard. You know, if there's a t-shirt or a shirt or something that I want, I've got to dig through all this other stuff to get to it. And once again, stuff's probably the appropriate word. Yeah. It's not rubbish. People can use it, but do I need it all? Clearly, you know, I don't. You know, if I haven't used something for 12 months, the odds are I'm not going to use it for several years.
And the clothes are an interesting one, because I don't have a problem there. I've got one t-shirt from the late 90s, you know, which my old man was in Darwin with my mum, and there was some guy on the pier there painting t-shirts, and so my dad threw something rock and roll at him, and he came up with this interesting idea. And yeah, so I've kept that. The painting's still there. You know, so there's still a connection there. Other than that, don't have anything that's older than a couple of years, really.
So
interesting when you mention that. I guess for different people, clothes will have more sentimental value than for others. So
yeah,
I do have a lot of ties which I don't wear, so I guess there's something I'm still
Yeah, I myself cut down the number of ties I wear too. I've still got a lot of them there. There's a time where I used to wear a lot of ties. So especially when I was in the UK, I was paying, say like £5 for a silk tie. So if I ever forgot my tie, or I wasn't too fussed, I'd just go and buy a new one. And I collected a lot of ties over the couple of years that I was there. Yeah, okay. So is there anything else that you want to sort of talk about?
I think the big thing for me is, and it's there in the thread, even with clothes and household effects and everything else, is being wary or being aware of what we're including in our life. I mean, it's all pervasive for me at the moment. It's being forced to the fore for me. So I went away. So I now live with my phone perpetually having unread texts and instant messages, like perpetually now. I never catch up with all of them. And, so I got to Noosa with however many unread texts, and then, a couple of guys who I feel like they keep checking on me, but I feel like they're also staying in touch with me for their benefit. Family, and just... None of the messages were serving me. None of them. None of them. That's not true. One of them was a phone message about seeing how I was doing. So I guess there was an element of that. However, I do know there'll be as much or more about the other person and what's going on for them.
Yeah.
And so no disrespect. It's just even that, I just wanted to see how you're doing and have a bit of a chat. I know what that means. It means I'm going to be tapped into again for more support.
Yeah.
And there's one guy in particular, kind of was calling me while I was moving, calling me when I was there. In the end, I just texted and said, mate, I've hit the wall. I'm knackered. I'm resting. I'll call you, when I'm back in Melbourne. And it was like, oh, fair enough. And I get 3 more messages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
And I have fostered this behavior of, I don't switch off. You can have me anytime you like. So, I'm probably harping from the perspective of a lot of people here, but it's blowing me away now how much of other people's crap I appear to have accepted.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. We don't just do it with the stuff, like the physical stuff in our world. We do it everywhere. A long time ago, I just keep all my emails. I just archive them when I'm done with them. And I know that they're always going to be there, which was useful, but I can't really remember how long it's been now since I really went back to any of them.
Yeah.
Certainly over, a couple of months at most.
Yeah.
Google does a wonderful job of hanging on to them for me, and I never have to see them again unless I ask for them.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But you're talking about people in our lives, like who you spend time with, what you're spending time with, where your energy is being spent. With emails is one big thing on its own. And what do we do fill our life with? Not just physically fill our life with, but time-wise, energy-wise, communication-wise, everything has an impact.
Yeah.
There's
it does.
The people you hang around with, there's that saying about the 3 people you hang around with most is going to be your average income, I think, something like that.
They say 5, yeah.
5 is it? Okay, the 5 people you hang around with. So,
in fact, the saying is something like, we become the average of the 5 people we spend the most time with in every way.
In every way, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's because everything that feeds it's feeding your mind, your environment that feeds your mind, the conversation that feeds your mind.
Mm.
If you want to improve yourself, you improve your conversation, the conversations you have with yourself and with others. And that's why they say that if you want to better yourself, you stop hanging around the people you're hanging around with and you look for better people to hang around with. But then, of course, they might be conscious about wanting to hang around with people who don't have the kind of conversations that they want to be hanging around.
Yes.
So you've got to lift your conversation.
Well, and that's a really good point. So if we're going to accept, to be simplistic about it, we're going to accept someone in our life that is having lower level conversations and is around us because they want to have higher level conversations, then we have to keep that bar raised.
Yes.
And that's a really good point because I have found that challenging too.
Mm-hmm.
Even I found myself quite horrified in one coaching situation where, I got totally sucked into the other person's drama and it was very clever the way they did it.
Yeah.
Because they actually involved a third person who was involving me in the drama.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And just pushed one of those buttons for me. And I just, I realized later, I thought, no, this is not good enough.
Mm.
Not good enough for anybody, especially not for me. And so...
So do you have a solution for that now?
Absolutely. So more than one, I would say. So one is, to not allow... So if I'm in a situation where someone is calling me their coach or someone's calling me their business support or their mentor or whatever they're calling me, then all, everything in their life, their stuff is theirs. Mm-hmm. Now, have I achieved this? Not yet. I still take on more of the result of the individual than they do sometimes.
Yep.
And this was a problem I had as a real estate agent. I cared more about the result than the person owning property often.
Okay.
And and then would go to the to extremes of behavior to attempt to get the best result, whatever that was, whatever that meant, So I guess this is a repeating pattern.
I think most of our life is repeating patterns till we break through them.
So the answer remains the same, and that is do not own someone else's outcomes any more than they do. In fact, ideally, don't own someone else's outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that's interesting for me. I've got, because I work as a coach, obviously I hear a lot of people's stories.
Mm.
And I've got an option when I hear their story to either just say, stop, this is a story, it's not going to serve you or me. And I can just be really blunt and kind of clear about that. The issue is that some people get value out of getting that story off their chest.
Mm.
And it's the trick, well, now that I've heard the story, how do I have the next conversation without buying into their beliefs? Because what they've shared with me is not just something that happened to them. It's everything they believe about something that happened to them. So it's not even what happened. It's literally just their story, their version of what happened.
Yep.
And it's so laced with emotion and all of those things that you have to buy in. It's like, well, if you don't buy into what I'm saying, then you don't believe in me as a person. And there's kind of all this other baggage that comes with their story.
Yes.
So having to separate from, okay, now I've heard your story, and that's horrible. That's horrible that that's how you experienced that for you. And I'm sorry that was that happened for you that way. What now?
Mm.
And just go to the what now?
Yeah.
Rather than have a conversation about whether it was right, whether it was wrong, whether it was believed or whether or not. Yeah. Although it is nice to just sometimes just go stop. That's a story. Okay. I'm not going to listen to your story. I'm going to listen to what you're about and who you are as a person and what you're going to do now. That's what I want to hear from you. That's what inspires me about
you. So I now got a client who rings me and says, "I'm just calling you as a friend." To get around that one.
Yeah.
I don't change. In fact, I'll probably get harder. When I hear that statement, I'll probably get harsher and less emotional and start to really call out the bullshit. The
Awesome. Love it.
Also, so maybe you started to talk about your situation there, and I believe it's very pertinent then. So you and I do perform a similar role for different people in business.
Mm, yep.
And you're talking about either cutting off the story at the pass or letting the energy diminish and then redirecting.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest question for me is, how do you not wear any of it yourself? How do you wear that coat of Teflon or whatever it is? What is it you've got to just not absorb?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's not absorbed. I don't think I'm completely free from, I'm human and connection is a big part of who I am.
Yep.
So to be free from that once I've heard it is a challenge.
Yep.
There's no denying that.
Yep.
I don't have a magical Teflon coat where it all just kind of, bounces off. But having the conversations that are higher conversations,
right?
Having a conversation of possibility, and the more often I do that, the better off I am.
Right.
If I'm just around story all day long, that takes its toll.
Yeah.
If I get to be around, even if I'm generating it, as long as I am having higher level conversations that are about, well, what's possible for the world. You know, what's possible for me? What's possible for you? What are we doing? What are we up to? That if there's more of that conversation, then that's the antidote to it, rather than the Teflon coat.
Okay. And so with that, is it fair then to say that if someone's in Storyland and you're talking about you're drawing them towards the possibilities, but they keep wanting to go back to Story, you just cut them loose and let them go eventually?
As a client?
Yep.
Or
as a client, yeah. As a friend, as a family yeah. member, as a whatever.
Yeah, so
it's, so I'm talking about responsibility as the oldest son as well, and the oldest brother, and the oldest, you know, this and that, the other. I'm carrying the responsibility personally as well as professionally.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's a single answer for a single situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've certainly let people go in my life. Yeah. You know, there's absolutely no denying that. There's a lot of people in my life that, and they were amazing people. You know, I was, you know, many years ago, I was surrounded by, you know, probably 100 plus people that were really amazing people, like really top quality people. They were genuine. They were, you know, they care about you. There's a lot of really great people, but they weren't up to anything.
Oh, I don't want to be clear. There's no judgment. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the people around me.
Yeah.
And if we want to take that line, I might be the one that's got everything wrong. It's just, it doesn't serve me. It does not work for me to be around those people. It does not work for me to hear what they've got to say. It does not work for me to feel what they want me to feel.
Yeah. But this is me even, you know, not just people that are challenging to be around. Right. This is me walking away from people that are awesome to be around.
Right.
So, and I've cut loose from them. Right. I'm like, you know what? This is great. I've really enjoyed, you know, as friends, I've really enjoyed spending the time with you. And I didn't have this as a one-on-one conversation with people. I didn't, you know, I didn't really have this as a direct conversation. It was just natural for me to spend less time with them until a point where I literally just needed other conversations in my life, you know, because they just weren't up to creating big stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to start creating big stuff and start making a difference. So I moved away from awesome people, not just people that are, you know, that are living in the story and they want to create drama and anybody they can bring into their drama. You know, but there's, for me, it's a question like, can I support this person or not? And what's the cost to me? If the cost is unacceptable, then the answer is, well, you know, I've got to go. You know, I'm not going to allow myself to live in story world just to support somebody else's story.
Yeah.
You know, if I cannot make an impact to someone, because some people are more attached to their story than they are to having the life of their dreams.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to make a choice. You know, if I cannot impact this person in a meaningful way that, you know, allows me to continue to impact other lives positively, then I have to walk away. The impact isn't just that one person. The impact's much bigger.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm. And unfortunately, sometimes I do come, you know, clients come to me because they want something, but it's more like I wish that I could have this life rather than I'm prepared to do something about it. They go, oh, you know, that what you've said is incredible. I'd really love that. Great. Well, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Mm.
You know, well, you know, let's start coaching. Okay, great. And, you know, but if they're not taking on the coaching because they're too attached to their drama, it's more important that I validate their drama than I actually create a result for them.
Mate, the early conversations I have with my clients are about their vision for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because even that's been shaken recently. I'm thinking, am I having the right conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've realized I'm having the right conversation. I'm just having it with the wrong people.
Yeah.
I've had something happen, made it past the first meeting.
Ah, look who's here.
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
How you going?
Good.
All right.
Sorry, I'm late.
Kind of you to make me look a bit better.
Yeah, well, I'm here.
You are.
There we go.
Not completely AWOL.
So what you're saying there about, you know, people and having to kind of let them go, like, I think it's really important. And when you do sit down with a client, I think, If you're going to separate ways, it normally happens pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like you're really clear that you're creating this, you know, this dream for them and they're just not really up for it. They're up to, you know, drama's more important. They wish that they had an amazing life, but, you know, the thought of having to do anything about it versus just, you know, pull someone else into their drama.
Well, that might be a good question for Luke then.
It's kind of interesting that I've dropped into. Actually, it's quite applicable.
Having the life that we want.
Yeah.
Is there anybody, we talked about hustle a few weeks ago. Is there anyone on this planet that grows up in and then inherits an amazing life? Or is it on every one of us to create that amazing life for ourselves?
Oh, gosh, deep.
That was a big question, wasn't it?
Look, I think, it's up to us to create that amazing life. But it's up to us to determine, what that looks like as well.
So we can't even create it for our kids or for anybody else?
Oh.
I think we can give people, we can kind of create it for our kids, but we still got to let them choose for themselves at some point. There's got to be a point where it's like, well, now, what are you up to?
Right.
We've chosen stuff to kind of show you how to have a go at it. But you've got to start choosing for yourself.
Yeah, at some point, the less, from a kid perspective too, at some point, the less we get involved, the faster they'll learn, that old adage that the faster you can make mistakes, the better off you'll be.
Mm. Yep.
Do them younger, your risk tolerance is high, you're going to learn a lot quicker. So, but in saying that, I had an interesting meeting just an hour ago with a guy, and after I left, I was in the lift, had a conversation with you guys, and it dawned on me, it doesn't matter what position or amount of money you have, we all still have the same problems. Now, his problem just had more zeros behind it, right?
Yep.
He's like, where do I put my money for advertising? And I'm like, well, so he was on the fence, he was sort of, and sometimes I get paralyzed in life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so blessed that I have, I have the knowledge that I do.
Yeah.
And my budget's a lot smaller.
Yep.
But I can get away with it.
Yep.
Mm. So I'm nimble. Oh, mate, I couldn't get out of there fast enough, after that insight. But it was just amazing to see that.
That wasn't my office, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't actually. But he's about to launch a franchise like model. So,
oh, yeah, okay.
Wow. A lot of work. His background is marketing. So we're just talking all things, where is it moving to? Where are we going to get the best bang for our buck?
So his background's marketing. He was asking that question.
Mm. Okay. So that was interesting. Yeah. And he said, look, I'd love to take you out for a coffee. And I was like, okay, well, I'm here to measure, for a signed consult for his office, but it sort of turned that way. And I think we just sort of, again, had that sort of deeper connection. But, he's got an advertising budget of 50K a month. Where I might max out at 5, but I'm willing to spread that around, Insta, Facebook, I'm willing to take certain risks. And it was just amazing that we can both be paralyzed. And at one point, even with that $5,000 budget, I was just like him, paralyzed.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Do what I do, have no budget, no paralysis.
Just, that's right.
And again, spend money.
Yeah. But, how do you, and you do want to know you're getting the best, bang for your buck return on investment. But I think it comes down to just like action as well, you get to learn along the way.
You got to test and measure.
Yeah, 100%. So it's all in the doing there. So,
yeah. If you don't know the answer, it's because you haven't made enough mistakes.
But it's easy to be comfortable, right? Like an employee sort of up and leave gave notice, sort of last minute last week.
Right.
Mm. And although it was something that was, I kind of felt in my gut something wasn't 110%. So it was a conversation that we're going to have. And I suppose I just came into a conversation with you guys sort of breaking up, parting ways. So, am I right? Is that you guys are talking about that? And
we're not, but we're talking about sometimes it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So we were talking specifically that as you rocked in about clients.
Yeah.
So, your client, you take on a client, you go, have a chat to them and they're really excited about what's possible for themselves and they really see something. And then you start working with them and then you discover that they just don't want to change.
Hmm.
Like, they'd love it to be changed for them.
But at what point do we continue, as a coach or a boss, employer?
Yep. Yep.
To take that on and carry that,
because that's where the conversation came from.
That's the conversation.
It started with, I'm worn out because I'm carrying too much of this bullshit.
Yeah,
that's basically it. I still take on way too much stuff that's not mine.
Yeah, that vested interest kind of thing, right? We're invested in the outcome.
Yep.
But it's all the stuff that goes with it that we take along the journey, which is, and does that make for an amazing life? does you taking that on and helping people to a certain extent, you know, help improve their life? Does it improve your life?
Fair question.
We don't know.
No.
So does it come full circle back to your vision and your mission as well and your goal in life? Like, I've kind of gone off goals, but I'm big on sort of vision and mission. I think for me personally, I've lost that sort of way. So when, you know, when an employee up and sort of leaves, and for whatever reason it was still, I sort of lament on it, and I'm like, well, cool. So I can either, it goes one or two ways, yeah. I can think about the situation in so much that it helps me, or it doesn't, or I, you know, lament, get paralyzed, stuck. These are the feelings that are quite common.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to have a way to, I think, spot those things. The stuff that comes up and gets in your way, to notice those. That's what will really help in this conversation. So for me, I've been doing it for long enough now that I kind of get a sense when I work with someone. Like, I can get a sense pretty early on and at different stages, really see if someone's prepared to take on who they are, to make a difference. So whether or not they're pulling me down or whether I'm lifting them up, I get a sense for that. And so for yourselves and, you know, people listening, get a way of measuring what's pulling you down, lifting you up. Look for things. So if you know that if you have a conversation with someone and you stop taking action, look to see what kind of actions you're taking, whether you've stopped or not. And whatever those measures are for you, because each person's got their own, you know, their own, you know, are you in your head? Are you angry? Are you, you know, emotional? Are you distant? Whatever it is that for you is a sign that says that it's not working, be clear about those. And if you have a conversation, you know, with anyone that has the potential to knock you off track, then check in on whatever your measure is. You know, are you angry? Are you emotional? Are you distant? Some people just get really talkative. So whatever your measure is.
Yeah, and we're all entitled to an amazing life, and as you say, there's some things that, you know, drag you down, and we don't mean to take it on. It's probably in our nature that we, you know, we want to help, right? And that's the byproduct of that, deciphering through that murkiness. And in the space where both of you guys are in, you know, you're in that people looking to get ahead and progress, and they're gonna have dips, aren't they? They're gonna have lows, and
it does get murky. It's a good word.
Yeah. And I think I was listening to a podcast with Joe Rogan just last night, and he said, yeah, look, the murkiness of some people, he says, I just avoid it like the plague. He says, just complaining and, you know, and he goes, it's not for everyone, but he goes, I just steer so clear of it. And he goes, it's changed my life. I don't need to get angry. I don't need to take on all this shit. You know, like you're saying, you know, like I can see you need to eat right, sleep right. And like, these are some fundamentals, but some people aren't willing to do that. Like, even just look after themselves. And he's like, I'm not even there to give that advice. I'm over here, you know?
Yeah.
And he like with your thinking and your thoughts and your ups and downs, he said, it's like hunger. It's like food. Yeah. So if you're hungry, you eat. So if you get sad, that's what it is. Like, acknowledge it. You're going to be happy again soon, right? You know, he's like, it's saying, and I was like, wow, that's such a simple analogy.
Not only that, it's taking responsibility for it. If you're hungry, you eat.
Yeah.
If you're sad, you get happy.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Don't just wait for the meal to rock up and someone else feed you. Feed yourself. Figure out what makes you happy and do something about it. Figure out what's not working and fix it.
Yeah.
Well, even if it's not, just knowing that, as you said, it can sit with you for some time. You know, you don't have to necessarily have the answer straight away, and searching for the answer, you know, can waste a lot of energy too. So being okay for it to sit with you, and knowing that your trusty inner wisdom, divine intervention will give you the answer, I think that's important as well. So that's trusting yourself. So that's a big part of it, and that's what I've been going through for me. Close the circle, like, you know, for a week. I trust myself. I see those insights. I'm not busy enough to be looking outside of me for the answers so much that I'm missing out on all the other things that I have, like the conversation I have with a guy today. Great. He's got expertise. I've got expertise. Let's do business. It could be anything. So that I'm thankful for. That I'm grateful for. Yeah? And that's what I can control. That's what I can change, I can use, I can do. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think we're done for today. It's
been a short one for me.
Yeah. Look, it's been really great, I think, to be able to have three perspectives on what it's like dealing with people in your life. And some people are really close to us. Like, we've been talking a lot in a business perspective, but we're also, you know, this also applies to people, close people in our lives. Just noticing that there are people in your life that you're probably not going to separate from, you know, like close family relations, and being aware of the impact of the conversations with those people on you. For me, the best thing is to be really straight about just asking them a question. Are you going to do anything about that? You know, are you going to take responsibility for changing that, or are you just here to share that with me? Yeah, do you want to, you're going to change it, or are you just going to share it with me? And just getting really clear, because we don't have to take it on. No matter how close they are as a family member or anything like that, we don't have to take it on and solve it. Just getting, and but helping them to be clear why they're sharing it with you. Just, hey, why is that? Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. And we look forward to catching up again soon.
Enjoy.
Cheers. Cheers, Ross. Cheers, Luke.